This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream Waters, this land was made for you and me. As I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me that golden valley. This land was me, you and
me. Hi. This is Heartstock Radio. I'm Carol Murphy. We have a new time slot. Hello, everybody in Radio Land and beyond. It's really nice, but a little bit strange to be here. It's broad daylight rather than dark. And really excited for this program. Happy that you're all here. Today, we have Lynn Johnson, who is the co-founder of Spotlight Girls. And I had the great pleasure of just meeting Lynn recently at a Jenny Kasson event in Oakland, California. Jenny was a previous guest on our program also. So, yet ahead, Lynn will come back and introduce herself and tell you all what she's up to. We'll be right back.
And all around me, a voice was sounding. This land was made for you and me. Oh, when the sun came shining and I was strolling and the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling, as the fog was lifting, a voice was chanting, this land was made for you and me. And as I went walking, I saw a sign there, and on the sign it said no trespassing, but on the other side it didn't say nothing.
I'm Carol Murphy, and this is Heartstock Radio. About halfway through our program today, we will open up the phone lines. The number to call is 559-681-4020. You can also shoot us a question on Facebook, Heartstock Radio. We got a page. Yeah, everybody's got a page. You got to have a page, right? So today we have Lynn Johnson. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Carol.
Thank you so much for being here, and I cannot wait for you to tell everybody what you're doing and what you're all about. So let's start out with you introducing yourself and tell everybody a little bit about who you are, please.
Thank you. This is quite exciting for me. This is my first time, I think, on live radio. I've been on a number of podcasts that, you know, pre-recorded, but this is a big milestone for me. So thank you so much for having me on the show, Carol. I'm the co-founder and CEO of a company called Spotlight Girls, and we are a certified B Corp based in Oakland, California, with a mission to educate, inspire, and activate girls and women to take center stage in their lives and in communities. And I founded my business after years of being a theater artist and a theater teaching artist and working with all kinds of kids, basically in out-of-school time programs, after-school programs, summer camps, things like that, and saw the power of kind of theater and other art forms to change people's lives and build their confidence. And so that's exactly what we do. We teach girls the skills to love themselves and each other through the arts in various programs.
You know, I'm always amazed at how people's own personal stories lead to where we get to interview them, which is when they're really probably doing something on a fairly grand scale, which I really feel that what you're doing is very impactful and important and something that I've thought a lot about. You know, how do we help young women come up and be bold? So tell me a little bit about your personal story. Did it have an impact that led you down this road?
Certainly, yes. You know, I grew up a girl in the United States.
Good place
and,
to start.
For better and for worse. Yeah, exactly. And I think my story is one where my defining story that relates to this is that I grew up moving a lot as a kid. And so I was always the new kid in school. And then on top of that, I was often kind of the only or one of the only African-American kids in the communities where I lived. And so in
those circumstances, we have to ask you, why was that? You know, why did you find yourself, or you and your family find yourself in that predicament? Is it a job that you're...
Because, yeah, it was just, you know, my parents' choices. My dad, he actually worked in your field. He worked in the media. He worked in first in newspaper and then in radio for a while and then in television. And he worked in television news. And it was just a matter of, you know, he was pretty successful in his career, working as like a news producer and a news director. And so as he got more successful, he got jobs at different markets. And he, you know, got nicer houses. And so we moved to communities that had people of, you know, with money and that tended to be white people. And so that's just kind of what happened. Mm-hmm. It was like part of the upward mobility of the 80s is how I found myself as a kid. So
that had an impact, I take it.
And it had quite an impact, yeah. And I feel like I was what was lucky about me was that I had like three kind of blessings, I guess, in all of it. One was that I am kind of naturally friendly. So I was able to, kind of make it a point to, you know, make friends and, you know, and land a place and make friends. I also, you know, had parents who on some level were pretty supportive of whatever I wanted to do. And then the third thing is that I really love doing theater. I love acting. And for me, that was the most important piece of it because no matter what town I went to, there was always a theater troupe or a drama club or something. And that's where I really found my community. And that's the most important thing, right? Like I felt constantly like I didn't fit in anywhere. And so the drama kids were always the kids where I felt like, okay, I'm not exactly like these people, but like here I feel accepted. Mm. And so I did that, you know, from the time I was like four or five all the way through till now. You know, went to college for it. And when I started to teach drama to other kids, I was actually quite young myself when I started teaching drama, still barely an adult. I just saw like what it did to people individually, as well as what it can, like how you can create environments, learning environments where people just feel so seen and heard and valued and respected. And that they, you know, that they were really like kids from all communities. I worked with, you know, all kinds of kids in my career, from the poorest to the poor, the richest of the rich, and all races of kids and all genders of kids. And just the ability, what you learn through being in a play is just, to me, there was nothing else like it in terms of personal transformation. So I just got really into teaching drama. I did that for 2 decades before starting this business. And knew that in those skills are what people need for, like you said, being bold and brave in your life. And so, like, why not apply this to girls' empowerment?
Yeah. So why did you decide specifically girls and specifically girls' empowerment? What was the motivation behind that?
You know, Carol, it was actually kind of by accident. So I was a women's studies minor in college, so I already had kind of I was already a feminist underneath it all. But I didn't actually start off doing this. My partner and I started doing summer camps and actual classes that were based in drama for boys and girls, and, you know, really connected to these social emotional themes. And then there was one summer in 2008 where only girls signed up by accident, and we never had that before. We'd always had more girls than boys, but there's always a good amount of boys who would sign up for our programs, and for whatever reason, only girls signed up for this one particular camp. And we thought, okay, well, let's roll with it and see what happens. And we made the theme that summer, you know, all about exploring the magic and power of being a girl. And it was, you know, it changed everything for us. It was the most successful program.
Okay. Yeah, so success, can you maybe define that a little bit more clearly? I'm just trying to imagine you in your element and just heaven on earth. What was it about it? What was it about it that was transformational for you?
There's something about, you know, our camp is called Go Girls Camp. And in Go Girls, we work with girls as young as 6 and as old as about 11. And there's something really magical about giving girls the space to just be with themselves. 6 to 11 is a wide developmental range. Lots of changes are happening with girls over that period of time. But pretty much what they have in common is they're really learning to differentiate themselves. And you know, you can picture it, right? You can probably picture a second or third grade classroom. The girls and boys are already kind of splitting up from each other. They're like, they're trying to find their identity through that kind of gender lens. And so when you give girls the space to not have boys around, not have boy energy, for better or for worse, around, they're able to do such amazing things. And you're able to talk about, like, oh, you know, what does it mean to be shy when you're a girl? What does it mean to be outspoken when you're a girl? Or what does it mean to be anything in between? And so they just was this kind of community. We always tried to build community with our programs, which we did, but there was, the community came together so quickly in this girls only space. And it just was, the kind of creativity that we saw from the girls get to flourish, there was nothing holding their creativity back. And that was just so beautiful that very first summer. You know, so we said to the parents and the girls, you know, next summer if we replicate this program on purpose, you know, would you come back to a girls-only camp? And they said, oh my gosh, yes, 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 definitely, please, please. And it just kept growing from there. So then success looked like so many things. Basically, Go Girls became our most successful program in all measures, in terms of seeing the transformation in kids. So our social impact measure, it was the most lucrative program for us. Like, it was the program people signed up for first and fastest and more often. It was just everything, every success measure.
So is it correct in saying that this is a program that is designed to prepare girls for leadership roles as young women and throughout their life?
Yes, and whatever that looks like. So, you know, we believe that girls are the leaders we've all been waiting for. And so we're teaching girls the skills to really lead. And whatever that means, you know, we're not like a... We're focused on the arts, but we're not trying to, you know, we're not teaching girls leadership skills specifically in, you know, in politics or in, you know, or in community involvement or anything that's specific like that. It really comes down to what we call our Go Girls Culture Code, which is like these kind of key skills that girls need to be successful in their lives, no matter what they wind up doing, and really not be afraid to like stand up and stand out in a leadership role, whatever that happens to look like for them.
You said something very interesting. You believe that girls are the leaders, or women are the leaders that we've all been waiting for.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit more what you mean by that?
Yeah, I would love to. I feel like we are all understanding what the results are of a society that leaves women and girls out. There is a real imbalance of masculine and feminine energy in our society. And that imbalance has caused us to tip into the over usage of masculine energy. As we know that there's so much there's so much positive in like kind of the so-called masculine, right? Getting out there, getting things done, making things happen, and achieving things, that kind of thing. But when that kind of masculine energy goes into hyperdrive and it's not balanced by more, quote, feminine energy, which is all about kind of care and connection and compassion and intuition and wisdom, all that stuff, when that area of all of us, no matter what gender we are, when that area of all of us is suppressed, we see what we're seeing. We see too much violence and too much power over people instead of, power together. We see too much subjugation and oppression. And even, we're seeing it in our environments, right? We're seeing a planet that can't sustain. And so I feel like what we all are looking for is a kind of more of a balance of these so-called feminine powers. And they come from all of us, like I said, they come from men and women and any other gender in between. But I feel like, and many of people feel like, giving girls and women, whether they're biological girls, women, or trans girls or women, the space to kind of stand up and declare, like, hey, like, this is where I lead from. I actually lead from the space of care. I lead from the space of connection. I lead from the space of empathy. And let's go there. Let's go in that direction. Follow me in that direction. I think that's so desperately needed right now.
So we're a little over 15 minutes through, and we're going to take just a couple minute break and enjoy the music. We'll be right back. This is Carol Murphy, having a great conversation. Lynn Johnson. Hi again, Lynn.
Hey. Yeah, this is great. I love talking about this stuff.
Yeah, this is good, some good stuff. And a very important aspect of this good stuff is the financial aspect. please share with everyone how you've created financial success around this beautiful mission that you have.
Sure. You know, people oftenest, and I'm sure that people listening are assuming that what I'm running is a nonprofit organization, and it's not. We are a for-profit benefit corporation incorporated here in the state of California. And I started, you know, I came from the world of nonprofit arts education, and I was very specifically wanting to create a for-profit business because, you know, as an artist and as a woman of color, it was important to me, crucial to me, that part of empowerment means, you know, getting paid for what you do and getting paid well for what you do well, and building wealth for myself and my family and my community. And so I set out to create an organization that was going to, you know, generate revenues and enough revenues to sustain. And so the thing about it is it's not, you know, rocket science what we do in terms of just the fact that we create quality enrichment programming for students, for kids when they are not in school. And there is a big need for this, you know, partly, unfortunately, because we don't have enough access to quality childcare in our country, but that's another political issue. But, you know, during the summers and during after school, there are, you know, so many of us are looking for places for our children to learn things they, you know, especially the arts, where the arts aren't often funded in schools. And these kind of spaces like this, where it's a very unique learning environment that you won't get in school. And so there are tons of summer camps out there that are for-profit businesses that make their money. And what's a, it's a great business model for anyone thinking about it, because parents pay money to register their kids for camp before the service is actually provided. So you can kind of fund your business off of the initial receipts. You know, people will pay me in December for a program that doesn't start till June, right? So you can mm-hmm. kind of get that, kind of use your revenues to do your operations. And so, so we were able to grow. We grew that very first summer from 2008. We had, you know, it started with a camp of 17 girls, and now it was in the San Francisco Bay Area. We work with close to 500 girls in the summer and then throughout the after school program. So your programs just grow word of mouth. And
you raised a lot of money in addition to just regular operating revenue.
Yes, I did. And I did that for growth. Mm. So we grew to that number of about four, we grew to about 300 to 400 girls just organically. And then it was, I realized, okay, this is, we have something. We have lots of success here in the Bay Area. We're very popular here. People know us, quality. And we had gotten to a place where we know that we're able to replicate our program. And so, but in order for us, people were doing on a national level and make it something of a bigger program and a bigger movement. That's something that I wasn't able to do anymore, kind of just bootstrapping it. So we've started the process of raising money from outside investors in order to make that happen, so we can get to a place where we can make ourselves known to other, you know, entrepreneurs throughout the country who want to do something like this in their community.
So do you feel comfortable telling everybody how much money you raised total?
Yeah, sure. To date, I've raised $500,000 through various sources.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's exciting, and it's not something that I ever thought that I would do when I first started out in this work, but I've done it, and it's been really incredible. And
this is a franchise, right? Sorry, it's a franchise, right?
Not yet. Okay. We are working on that in the state of California, and we're going to be, that's happening soon. We're kind of finishing up that paperwork here in the state. And we're also working, I'm also talking to people in different states where we're not prepared legally to franchise yet, but we are talking about, we're creating partnerships with organizations and individuals in different parts of the country in a kind of a different partnership model. But yeah, it's exciting. I just, gospel from yesterday in Florida. So it's really cool.
So we've got maybe about 4 minutes left. And I was really, really curious when I looked on your website. I'm hoping in the time that we have left, number one, you can tell everybody how to reach you if they're interested in more information. And what the heck is a dadvocate?
Ah, a dadvocate, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. A dadvocate is, so first of all, our website is spotlightgirls.com, and that's where information about all of what we're doing lives. And a dadvocate is, we've noticed that some of the most enthusiastic supporters of our program are the fathers of daughters. There's something that is, you know, on some level, you know, moms tend to make up the base of our customers. They're the people who decide for the most part where their children are going to do, like, live during summer programs, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when dads come in and see their daughters perform in the plays that we create and see their daughters, you know, kind of coming out of their shell and coming into their own, they just get this spark in their eye, and they kind of become the biggest advocates for what we're doing. And so we decided to call them dadvocates. And that's what we do. So we like to label our dads as dadvocates because there's just something so special about that form of allyship. You know, like I'm a man who's walked the world this way, and I see my daughter, I see how she doesn't have the, she wasn't taught the same things I was taught as a boy, so I'm going to make sure she has them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a whole nother show about that, how men can advocate for women. And we've had a few guests that spoke to that in the past. And maybe we'll have some more in the future. We're just like 1 minute away. Anything else that you want to share with our listeners, Lynn?
Yeah, I think I want to just, again, thank you so much for having me here and recognize that one part of our growth is really focused on making it possible for as many girls as possible to go through this programming. You know, like a lot of the kids that come obviously are people who come from families who can afford to come to programs like this, and there are a lot of families who cannot afford it. And so we're building it into our structures to make it so that we can support more and more girls who can't afford camp.
Mm.
Because to be a Go Girl, you don't have to be any race or any socioeconomic group. And so we want every girl to be a Go Girl.
Nice. You've been listening to Heartstock Radio. I'm Carol Murphy. Welcome to our new time slot. Thanks for listening, everyone. And thank you, Lynn. Great having you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Heartstock Radio is a production of KBMF 102.5, Butte America Radio. Hear our live programs every Friday at 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time via live stream at butteamericaradio.org.